He moved through the arched doorway, a stout oak door thrown back and propped open with a chair to his left, and instinctively stepped to one side so the door didn't backlight him. The place was far humbler inside than outside, as there was an earthen floor and a dozen wooden tables outfitted with rickety, hide-bottomed chairs. There was a long, crude bar on the left. Shelves behind the bar were crowded with cloudy and clear bottles of several sizes. Also behind the bar was a large black range, the several pots and pans sizzling atop it being tended by a portly old woman in a shapeless dress. The succulent smells of spicy meat emanating from the range nearly rocked Coulter back on his heels. A one-eyed man sat on a stool near the crock, fanning himself with a yellowed newspaper. Toward the back of the room, four men were playing some kind of craps game. They appeared to be throwing small bones around their table with a wooden cup. They were big, savage-faced men, dressed nearly all in leather, with sombreros of different shapes resting on their heads. They had glasses and two clear bottles on their table, one empty, one cloudy with some kind of Mexican tanglefoot that would likely peel the rim off a wheel. One had an extra chair pulled up beside him, and on the chair rested a sawed-off double-barreled coach gun with a leather lanyard. They regarded Coulter and Bethel wryly, the one with his back to the newcomers twisting around in his chair and raking his gaze across the two with grunting interest before turning forward and shrugging his shoulders. Coulter walked over to the bar. The one-eyed man regarded him and Bethel dully, as though a branded young gringo and a blonde young gringa walking into his saloon were a common occurrence. Coulter doffed his hat.
Can we get dos plates of huevos rancheros and a steak?
The portly woman turned toward him briefly, then continued stirring whatever she had sizzling in an iron skillet. The one-eyed man furrowed the brow over his one good eye. The other was milky and half-hidden by its drooping lid, and shook his head.
No, hey huevos. Tenemos fajitas de carne.
He continued shaking his head. Glancing at the range, he said something that Coulter couldn't understand, but which Bethel seemed to pick up. She looked at Coulter and nodded.
Good enough. We'll just get us a table then.
Bethel canted her head toward the room, and then she and Coulter walked over to a table on the other side of a ceiling joist from the four craps players and sank into hide-bottomed chairs, Coulter giving his back to the bar, the banditos to his left, the door to his right, beyond Bethel. Coulter tossed his hat onto the table. Bethel removed her own hat, ran her fingers through her sweat-damp blonde hair, which fell straight to her shoulders, then tossed her own hat onto the table. She looked around with a sour look on her sunburned face.
Hope Mama's not looking down on me. She wouldn't approve.
Would she want you to starve?
No, but she'd think Pa'd been a bad influence on me in the years since we had planted her. She warned me to keep my hat straight and that Pa needed a strong rudder and I was it.
Seems a heavy yoke for a 12-year-old.
I got the shoulders for it.
The one-eyed man came over with two clear mineral-stained glasses and a small bottle filled with clear liquid.
Pulque.
He splashed some of the liquid into each glass, setting them before Coulter and Bethel.
No, thank you.
All the more for me.
Coulter sniffed his glass. The coffin varnish smelled about the same as tequila to him.
You drink that, you'll be seeing purple bears and pink snakes.
Don't mind if I do.
Coulter sipped the pulque, swished it around in his mouth, swallowed it. The liquid was stronger than tequila, but when the harshness passed, a warm, dreamy feeling sank over him. The light angling through the arched windows was soft and buttery. He wanted to cool his heels in this dingy, aromatic place and drink the Mexican tanglefoot all afternoon.
Go easy on that stuff. That one sip's got you grinning like a schoolboy after his first poke.
Bang! I didn't even realize I was grinning.
A few minutes later, the woman carried half a dozen sizzling, steaming plates and bowls over to Coulter and Bethel's table and plopped them all down in the middle. The one-eyed man outfitted them with plates, crude wooden forks, and a bowl of corn tortillas. As hungry as they were, it still took Coulter and Bethel nearly 20 minutes to finish the hearty meal and to swab out the remains at the bottom of the empty bowls with the last bits of tortilla. Coulter swallowed the last bite and sank back in his chair, stuffed, his head light from the drink. He looked across the table at Bethel. He didn't like the look on her face as she stared beyond him toward where the four cutthroats had been playing their game, but from where now only silence issued. There was suddenly the creak of leather and the squawk of a chair as though a man were rising from it. Coulter saw something arc toward him from his left, and he gave an instinctive start, reaching for his Remington as a rawhide pouch landed on his empty plate. He kept the pistol in its holster, squeezing the worn walnut handle as he stared down at the lumpy pouch on his plate. Bethel frowned down at the pouch, then slid her cautious gaze to the men to Coulter's left. Coulter looked that way, too. One of the men moved away from his chair and ambled leisurely toward Coulter and Bethel's table, the flared bottoms of his scratched leather charro slacks buffeting around his high-heeled black boots. The cutthroat stopped across from Coulter. A very tall man, only about a head shorter than Santiago Machado had been, he had broad jaws covered in a two-day growth of spiked black stubble, and two chins, though he was not otherwise fat. His dark eyes were dull beneath the brim of his gray sombrero, red-stitched with the outlines of naked señoritas. Coulter lowered his eyes and squeezed his hand harder around his pistol's grips as he saw two pistols, an impressive Colt Peacemaker and an older model Schofield, wedged behind the man's wide brown belt, and the Bowie-like knife with a wooden handle carved in the shape of a curvaceous naked woman sheathed under his left arm. He kept the gun where it was, as the big cutthroat didn't seem to be in a hurry to go for his own. The man jerked his chin toward the hide sack he'd tossed onto Coulter's plate.
"For the girl. Mexican gold. 100 of your American dollars worth."
He slid his dark eyes toward Bethel, who shrank back in her chair. Coulter kept his hand on his Remington, but tried to smile, trying to pass off the offer as a joke.
The girl ain't for sale. Wouldn't be worth that much, even if she was."
Bethel hardened her jaws at him. The big man stared mutely down at Coulter and the girl. Finally, the man's face broke into a broad smile, and he showed nearly an entire set of crooked, broken teeth. He slid his gaze toward his friends. Tears dribbled down the big cutthroat's cheek, and he placed his big hands on the edge of the table, leaning forward and shaking his head as he laughed. Coulter hoped that he and Bethel were only being the target of some odd Mexican joke, and that the big man wasn't really trying to buy Bethel.
"Amigo, we offer you $100.
He flung a hand toward Bethel.
"That is better than $1 a pound, huh?"
"You can forget it, amigo. I ain't his to sell, and even if I was..."
Bethel's gaze dropped to the big cutthroat's belt and the two bristling pistols. She frowned.
"Hey, where'd you get that hog leg?"
For an instant, he appeared befuddled. Then he followed her gaze down to the peacemaker wedged behind his belt.
"Huh? This?"
"Yeah, where'd you get it?"
He slipped the gun from behind his belt, twirled the fancy silver-chased factory-scrolled pearl-handled piece on his finger, grinning. Bethel slid her chair back and stood, tensely, her wide eyes riveted on the pistol in the bandito's hand. Her face had paled, and now she swallowed, lips trembling.
"That's my father's gun, you son of a bitch!"
"Qué?"
Bethel grabbed her own Colt Army from behind the cartridge belt encircling her slender waist and extended it in both hands toward the cutthroat's belly.
"Bethel?"
Coulter slid his chair back from the table and slipped his Remy from its holster, shuttling his frantic gaze between the big cutthroat before him and the three others, who just now started reaching for their own weapons. They froze, one half out of his chair, as Coulter aimed the Remy at them. The big cutthroat did not look worried. He stopped twirling the impressive peacemaker, but he grinned jeeringly at Bethel, who was aiming her Colt at him, her hands shaking visibly.
"That's my father's gun! What'd you do to my father, you bastard?"
The cutthroat held the gun against his chest. He leaned mockingly, defiantly toward Bethel, and suddenly shaped a slack expression, sticking out his tongue, and swiped the index finger of his left hand across his throat. Straightening, he glanced over at his cutthroat pards. The others slid their eyes between the big bandito and Coulter's cocked Remington.
"You son of a bitch!"
The big bandito took two stumbling steps backward, his laughter instantly dying, as did his mocking, toothy grin. He stared at Bethel as though she'd said something he hadn't been able to understand, and then his eyes lowered to the smoking Colt in her trembling hands. His expression became one of disbelieving exasperation as he continued to drop his gaze to the blood leaking out of the ragged, round hole in his calico shirt. His knees buckled. Blue-black blood welled from the hole in his shirt, thick as tar as he sagged sideways onto the hard-packed earthen floor. One of the other three banditos bolted out of his chair, reaching for the Smith & Wesson jutting from his shoulder holster.
Mata esa pequeña puta!
Coulter shot the man in the chest. As the other swung toward him, also reaching for iron, Coulter flung himself across the table and into Bethel, still standing there, staring down in shock at the dead bandito. She hit the floor beneath Coulter, and Coulter used his right boot to haul the table down in front of them for a shield, as two bullets plowed through it and bored into the floor dangerously close to both him and the girl.
Stay down!